Welcome to Unhinged with your host, Teresa Romer, motivational speaker, fashion expert, and fashion guru.
And welcome to Unhinged with yours truly, Teresa Romer. And today we have an amazing, amazing guest, Neera. I always say the last name wrong. Patidar.
There you got it.
Hey.
It's true for like 10 years. That's okay. I never say my last name. It's like my
daughter. I always go, Neera. You know Neera. Everybody knows Neera. They're like, no, what's your last name? Starts with a P. I'm going to mess it up if I try to say it. So it's just
I don't think there's another Neera in Houston. So.
I don't think so. Neera P.
Neera P.
Yeah. And then I say Rugals. And they're like, oh.
Right.
Yeah, we know her.
Exactly.
Yeah, Miss Entrepreneur. Yes, yes, yes. So we're going to dive in. You know how we love doing the backstory of people? Because I truly find it fascinating. Because guess what? We all have a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Some boring, some not so boring. But for the most part, I think everybody's backstory is pretty damn interesting. Because most people try to portray themselves today as if their life is perfect and always has been.
That's social media for you.
Exactly. But when you really get to meet someone and spend time with someone, you find out that they're almost as fucked up as you are.
This is very
true.
Very true.
But so I find that everybody's dysfunctional. It just depends on what level of dysfunctional you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not here to judge anyone because God knows my past has been crazy. Mm-hmm. So we want to dive into your past.
Oh.
Do we start at birth or a little older?
Well, my dad wished for a boy. He didn't see me until I was done skating.
Yeah.
No, but it's true.
It's true.
It's true.
He wanted a boy.
He wanted another boy.
How long before he finally saw you?
3 months. 3-4 months.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, back in those days, that's how it was, right?
So your background is what? What's your nationality?
Indian.
Okay. Pakistani?
Hindu.
Hindu. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is kind of the culture.
Right. The culture was very much family first. So my dad's parents, my dad's father, my grandfather was ill at that time when I was born in England. My mom was in England. And so he had to go back to India.
So do you carry two passports?
Yes. British
nice.
And American.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So it's kind of like the Chinese back in the day. They never wanted girls. They only wanted boys.
Only wanted boys because they carry the name.
Yeah.
It's very...
Wasn't it? I don't know if this might be hearsay. I need to Google it and see if there's any truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
Fact checked it. But supposedly back in the day, if you were a girl, you just got drowned.
If you were too many girls, because you are a financial burden.
Mm. So I always heard that...
Especially when you're going to get married.
Yeah.
Stuff. So you became a financial burden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, back in the day, and this is probably when I was a teenager, so God knows if any of that was true, but I always heard in the Chinese culture that if you were a boy, you lived, and if you were a girl, you got killed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, dad wanted a boy. You were a girl.
Mm.
Didn't want to see you for 3 months.
I don't know if he didn't want to. I just don't. I think he was in a tough spot, being the eldest of seven, actually.
Oh, wow.
And he's just in a tough spot, and he had to be back.
Okay.
But it's interesting that when you're at such a young mindset, such a young age, and you're saying this to me,
yeah,
I was kind of like, that's horrible.
Yeah.
But as you get older and you look back, you understand that, okay, there were circumstances there.
So how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm the youngest of three. I have a sister, a brother, and then me.
So there was two girls and a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So dad was double disappointed.
Oh, no. My sister's a princess.
Oh, now we... So you're the youngest.
I'm the youngest.
So she was the oldest?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she's a princess. She's the oldest.
Usually it's the young one that gets spoiled and...
Oh, I don't know. Firstborns get a lot of... Look at Prince William.
This is true.
Mm. Next in line.
Next in line.
Mm. So, okay, so anyways... You were 3 months, and then you grew up, and you were
came
raised...
to America about 8-9 years old.
With your parents?
With my, yeah.
Okay.
My uncle, my dad's youngest brother, he brought him over as well. He brought a couple of his sisters over. We moved to Port Aransas. It was the first place I lived.
Mm-hmm. Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I always wonder what causes people to choose Texas. When they look at the map of the United States and go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, is their family there, or nothing opportunity? Like
that. My dad's, one of his sisters, I had already lived in, was already in California. Mm. So he did go to California thinking we may move there. Mm. But there was so much family drama that he was like, no. Mm-hmm. But the main reason is because he found a very, very, very cheap property that he was able to have my mom and my uncle manage while he went on the road looking for other different properties.
Nice. Okay.
And so south of Texas was where the real estate he felt he wanted to invest in.
Okay. So life is great. We're 8 or 9 years old.
Life is good. Learned how to swim. First time I ever saw a beach. First time I saw dolphins right there. I mean, it was beautiful water at that time in the 80s. Life was fine.
Lived there until you were...
Then we came to Houston when I was in like third grade, something like that.
Okay.
We were there a short time. We weren't there too
long. Not very long.
Yeah.
Okay.
Came to Houston, grew up on 1960, went to spring.
Oh, so you were kind of raised in my neck of the woods up here.
I was, yeah. Mm.
And yet you always seem like, you know, the Woodlands is, you know, lower third of Dallas.
Wow. Let's be real.
Let's see. You used to travel that road a lot.
Okay. I've traveled that road quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay. So we're growing up.
Lived in a home of 21 people.
In one house?
In one house.
Good God.
It was 6 of us per room, basically.
Like bunk beds?
Bunk beds, yep.
Or sleeping bags?
No. Bunk beds or the floor.
Yeah.
Or a pull-out couch bed. Yeah. My dad's and my mom. My mom's side of the family is from England. They also live there. She's one of 5 sisters. Both my parents born and raised in Africa. When the civil wars broke out, both grandparents sent their kids to England, which is the next country to go to.
Sure. Sure.
And that's where my parents met, got married, blah blah whatever. And so my mom's side of the family still lives there, but one of her sisters, they wanted to come to America. So, they lived with us. My dad's cousins lived with
21
us.
21 people in one house.
My dad's siblings
lived
with us.
Is there enough toilet space?
God,
you got to stand in line for
the toilet. Can you imagine all that clogging and unclogging? No, like, and my mom was like the maintenance man.
Like me.
Yeah. She's literally hands-on maintenance. I mean, there's no, you can't afford like to have like
I'm just saying 21 people shitting in one house. That's a lot of sewer. Showers. Like you got to stand in line.
Oh, yeah. We shower started at 4 in the morning.
Dang.
If you miss your time frame, the next day is your...
Sorry.
Better wake up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And we
okay.
had a lot of different... Like my great-grandfather died in that house. He lived with us. My dad brought him back from India.
Wow.
So you had a lot of old school.
Uh-huh.
And you had... And then you also had these young kids that were going to school.
So you're thinking
you had to
this
be modern
normal.
As well.
But you think this is normal?
Yeah, no. This is absolutely normal.
But
the only time it felt abnormal was...
If you went to your friend's house.
Yeah.
And
or
you're
they
like,
came over.
Yeah.
They were like, what the fuck's going on here?
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like a circus.
Is there a family reunion going on?
I mean, we literally grew all the vegetables because it was too expensive to buy them. And there was no, quote-unquote, Indian grocery store here.
Of course
to
not.
To get those
of
particular vegetables and fruits and stuff.
Yeah.
So our backyard was insanely crazy.
And then you go to other people's house and they're like, where is everybody? Everybody got the day off?
It was a...
Everybody at work.
It was a bit of a culture shock
when
you went to friends' houses that were Caucasian.
Yeah.
And their dynamic, household dynamic was odd.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very much 17, 18 years old, get the fuck out, you're on your own.
Yeah.
And for us, it's like, no, you live with us forever.
Wow.
See, yeah. That's just a cultural
thing. That is the difference in cultures. Like, you know, even when I lived in California, I mean, like, it would be funny, all the Asian people around us, like you said, 15, 20 people living in one house.
Mm-hmm. It's normal.
Because it's normal.
Yeah.
You don't wish to move out when you're 18. You want to live
it's
with them
It's about having
forever.
That family community
right.
and dynamic.
Right.
And it was like, didn't make sense.
But don't
financially, it didn't make sense.
But don't you think Americans... Or Caucasian people. Don't you think they're the only ones that think that way? Because Asian people don't think that way.
Nope.
Mexican people don't think that
nope.
way. Indian people don't think
Latin
that way.
Latin American.
No. Nope. Like, like so many people.
It's a modern... America's the baby of all countries. Right?
Yeah.
It's a young country.
Yeah.
But that's their young mindset. I always view it as like it's a young country and it's supposed to be like a modern mindset.
Right.
Not very traditional.
Because at 18, my mom gave me a set of pots and pans and a set of suitcases. She said, here you go. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never understood then why have a kid, why have kids?
Because they thought at 18 your job's over. Bye bye.
There's no such thing as your job is over. Your job is never over.
No, your parent. Job's over till you die.
Yeah.
Like you are a parent till the day you die.
100%.
So you still, like, my daughter is 35 and I still worry about her when she goes out with friends, and I still worry why is she not home on time, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I'm like at 35.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That doesn't go away.
Okay. So anyway, so we know the Indian culture is quite different mm-hmm. than the American culture.
Correct.
So you had to go to college, I'm sure.
Yep. Education was
very high on the list, just like the Chinese. Okay. And then
also learning domestic skills was high on the list as a female. Like you need to learn how to cook. I mean,
of course.
Being in the kitchen. Well, like coming home from school.
Well, I can't help but think with 21 people in the house, you had to learn.
Well, my mom was.
You had to sit there and watch.
The main
cooker.
Yeah. She was.
Chef.
Mm.
Yeah.
My aunts and all them would be like.
But I'm sure they're teaching you as you're living there. No. You got to learn that after you turn 18?
No. It wasn't about teaching, but you were always in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But my father was really big on once you were like 14, 15, he was like, okay, let me see your skills because you're going to need these skills when you get married.
Sure. Okay.
Which it was a big deal to learn how to run a kitchen.
Right.
As a woman. That was more of a priority than getting a job. But education was high on the list.
Yeah.
But if you worked or didn't work, that's between you and your husband.
Yeah.
But you better know how to run a kitchen.
Better know how to feed your husband.
Right. Mm. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So we know with the Indian background, there's prearranged marriages.
Correct. High on the list.
Yours was or was not?
Mine was not. My sister's
was. You went against the grain of salt.
Correct. And my brother's was. I not only did I go against the grain of salt, I married Muslim. Completely.
Ooh.
Religiously. Big fat.
Ooh.
Fuck no.
Oh.
For amongst, between Hindus and Muslims. It's
yeah.
like, and not that any way I'm comparing this, but in the days of slavery, if you married a white person married a black person or a black person,
yeah.
It was massively frowned upon.
Yes.
Yeah. Same.
So parents were mad.
So before that happened, I was already kicked out of the house and I was homeless.
So what did you get kicked out of the house for?
Because I didn't agree with my father about after I finished college, I wanted to venture out on my own. I wanted to travel. I wanted to see the world. We butted heads a lot growing up. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go. I got into art school. And I was huge in art. I won a lot of awards about it, for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, that's not going to do anything for you. No. So he shut that down real quick.
You're supposed to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Or a lawyer or something like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Not an artist.
No.
Okay.
And so that field, entertainment field,
yeah.
Wouldn't let me work at a restaurant. He's like, it's classless. You're not going to be a hostess. That's demeaning.
Mm.
Oh, all this stuff.
Okay.
Without a doubt. And my mom was on, she agreed as well. So we just butted heads a lot and the household became very...
So even though family's everything, they didn't think twice about kicking you out?
No. Because I think my dad didn't think that I would last.
We'll throw the bird out of the nest.
Go?
Yeah, she's not going to fly. Okay.
So I did I actually ran away.
Oh, okay.
I was
here
21.
Houston. Mm-hmm. Here in Houston.
Ran away in the middle of the night, called a friend to pick me up.
In Houston. We didn't get out of Houston.
We did not get out of Houston.
Okay.
Went to Sugar Land, but that's
okay.
where she lived.
Yeah.
But she was also with her parents, and
mm-hmm.
she's, you can't stay here that long.
Yeah.
I probably had like $300-400 in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Got a hotel room, tried to figure it out, called my sister, thinking like, let me talk to her about this. Yes, she's already married.
Okay.
Let me talk to her about this, and... she told me, I agree with mom and dad. If you go this path, then we don't have a relationship either.
And she's in a prearranged marriage.
Right. But they dated for like a year.
Okay.
But yes, correct.
So she's already brainwashed because she's already prearranged marriage. Brother's prearranged marriage.
My brother was not married at the time.
Oh, so he's
yeah.
still single. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sister's like...
So then finally, after a couple of days, I left a note on my bed. And I was like, this is just a very negative environment. I think it's unhealthy for our relationship. My dad was probably fuming out of every hole in his body.
Mm.
A couple of days, and I called. I finally got the guts. And let me tell you, it was like vomiting and diarrhea this entire 2 days.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
And I finally called, and he said, okay, come home. We'll sit down and talk about it. And he was not budging. One of the reasons why I left, the whole family was there when my dad told me that your behavior is causing so much problems in this household. You owe everybody
an apology,
and you have to ask for forgiveness. And if you don't, then you put a gun on the table. And he was like, then this is going to be the result, because I'm not going to have this kind of disrespect in my house.
He was going to shoot you?
Well, he was threatening me. I mean, he's not fucking shooting me, but he just put that, right? And I was like, what the fuck?
You know,
and you know, when you look back at it, we've talked about it only one time. He still hasn't owned up to it. He was like, I was just scaring you.
That's a hell of a way to scare somebody. I mean, a better way would be like, I'm going to send you to a girl's school.
Oh, he was all about
it. But to lay a gun on the table?
He was like, you will no longer be able to leave the house. You will no longer be able to do anything. You will stay at home, and you are going to earn everyone's forgiveness back. All because I wanted not to get married.
Yeah.
Did not want to entertain potential resumes of boys and families.
Right.
And I wanted to explore. I wanted to meet different people. And in his head, that meant I was going to go fuck around.
Yeah. Ooh, a gun on the table.
Bang, bang. I'm just kidding.
I mean, my mom threatened me with girl school. Like, if you're not going to listen to me and abide by my rules, then I'm going to just send you to a girl's school.
So she was basically telling you no dick.
Yeah.
That's nice. Maybe the gun was better. But the gun.
Jeez. A gun.
You know, I was just thinking when I said that part, I have not thought about that moment in decades. Literally just kind of popped in my head. So it's something that I just kind of like,
shook
not forgotten
back.
About, or yeah,
shook
or just
back.
Don't want to see my family or my dad in those eyes
anymore. Because you forget.
And the big part of this is, a lot of my family members, like my uncles, some of my uncles and stuff, understood, but didn't go against my father.
Mm.
They're like, we understand where you're coming from, and we feel bad, but you're on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so he's laid a gun on the table. It's either this or not. And what was your decision?
That's when I left in the middle of the night with a backpack, a few pairs of clothes, and called a friend from a payphone at a stop and go, asked her to pick me up.
The same friend in Sugarland again?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pick me up, went to her house for a couple of nights.
Good friend.
Yeah.
So she's been there twice for you?
Twice, yeah.
Okay. So she came and got you.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't stay at her house too long because she obviously lived with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of days stayed at a motel and finally called my parents.
Again.
And went back to the house.
Again.
Had to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And basically he was like, if this is your choice that you would make, you can't live here. You need to leave. If you're not abiding by my rules.
Right. So, and you're like, okay, I can leave, but how am I going to support myself? Like,
he's like, that's your problem.
So you leave again?
No, this is the first time.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I left and just packed up whatever I could in my car,
mm-hmm.
which is clothes.
What
else
are
you going to pack up in
there?
Yeah. A few books, clothes.
Yeah.
My dad did not come out of his room. My mom was there just crying. Gave her a gas card, a credit card that you know, I had under their name or whatever.
Sure.
I walked out.
Yeah.
Didn't know where to go. Didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I had a part-time internship that paid me $4.50 at that time. That's the first place I went, and I asked if I can do full-time, and they said okay.
Okay.
And I lived in the parking lot of Westheimer and Fostoke. It used to be Barnes & Noble there for about a month.
Yeah.
Sink showers for about a month.
Yeah.
A couple of times I went to like a friend's house to take a proper shower, but
sure.
I never stayed at anyone's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
So then I saved up about $600, and I found, luckily at that time, there was no first and last month's rent. There was a little shitty apartment on Bering and Westheimer.
Yep.
$380 a month.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. 4 months, no bed, no mattress. Went to Walmart, bought a comforter and a pillow. And
could,
like one set of dishes.
Could have got an air mattress, I think.
The
ones you find in the pool, you know.
Yeah.
The air mattress
in
the pool.
And I didn't buy a pump, and I gotta blow it up.
Oh no! Back then, if you blew up an air mattress that was in the pool, I think it was like by mouth. it cost you like $15.
Couldn't afford it.
And I blew up plenty of those.
Mine was like a 29, 39, 49 Taco Bell menu.
Okay.
It's probably why I have a love for Taco Bell.
Yeah.
It saved me.
Yeah. Yeah. See? Right.
Yeah. Okay. There's no like groceries.
Right.
Maybe, like,
no?
No. For a while.
Okay. So you're what age now?
21.
I was going to say somewhere around 20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So 21. We're working.
We're working.
We're surviving. Parents still don't care.
I would call every day and they just put the phone down.
Yeah.
And whenever I had extra money for gas, it was at least once a week, I would go drive there, knock on the door. Because my whole point of leaving wasn't to make things worse. It was for us to figure out how to relearn our relationship.
Sure.
I mean, my parents are my life.
Yeah.
They are everything to me.
Right.
And they wouldn't answer the door. They wouldn't respond. They wouldn't.
So they
and it was very, very unlike my mom.
So very ashamed of you. Very.
Yeah. Very disappointed in me. And my mother is absolutely not like that.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that part. But later on, I found out what she felt and why she reacted that way to me.
Yeah.
Okay. And it broke my heart.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize I did that part to her.
Yeah. So you're surviving. You're getting along.
And
life is good.
So for me, my moment of realizing this is for myself, this is not okay, is I had a stalker situation at the apartment complex.
Yeah,
where they were like, it was bad. Where the police were called several times, and it was very, very scary.
Mm-hmm.
So they let me out of my lease.
Thank God.
Yeah, obviously they had to.
Yeah,
and
because apparently the stalker lived there.
Whatever. I don't know if he fucking lived there or if he was just like constantly following.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And so right down the road was Beltway and Westheimer was a mid rise. Never seen a mid rise. I mean, forget high rises, right? Mid rise. And I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was $720 a month.
Mm.
I had $800 in my bank account. And I said, fuck it. I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I moved in.
Yeah.
And that was my moment. Where like 720, I'm like, how the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, that's like almost double what I was paying.
Right.
Right.
And I barely can even afford food.
Right.
And I started working like three jobs.
Yeah.
And then I got promoted to like, what do you call it, a copywriter. I was at a marketing company.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got promoted real quick because I was there like all the time. Like people, do you go home?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about that for me. It was about like, I'm gonna make something out of myself.
Gotta survive.
2 years later, my uncle and my cousin get into a bad car accident.
Mm.
I get a call from my cousins. I go to the hospital. It's the first time I saw my parents.
Mm. 2 years.
2 years.
Okay.
My dad started crying.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was pissed.
Mm. Pissed? And because she saw you?
Yeah, she was angry at me. I did not, right?
Yeah.
Nobody in the family, extended family, had no clue that I, like, my dad kicked me out and I left.
Yeah.
They just made stories up. Well, she's not
sure.
Here.
Or she's just not here,
you know,
right,
like, busy,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then my mom called me and she was like, your aunt, my dad's younger sister, is coming in from California. Will you please come by? I mean, she's been here like three times. She thinks, like, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen you yet because I was her favorite. And I couldn't say no.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say absolutely not.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay. So I drive up to the house and I sat in my car for almost an hour. I just couldn't get out.
Mm.
Well, eventually I got out. I acted like everything was normal. Maybe a couple hours I was there and I was like, okay, I gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
This is like too painful.
Okay.
Still makes me want to cry.
Too painful because of what?
Because, like, why couldn't you just trust me?
Right. Right.
Why couldn't you? If you wanted me to leave, that's fine. But why'd you hang up on me? Why didn't you ever answer the door?
Right.
I wasn't taking anything from you.
Yeah.
And because of that, I've never spent a night at my friend's house since then.
So you were considered an embarrassment. You went against the ways and... They had to make excuses of why you weren't around, and so you were just an embarrassment.
So, because they didn't want to feel like shame.
Right, right. And, you know, that's what it really comes down to, because even now, back when I discuss my background and when I discuss things that have happened to me, my mother almost acts like it never happened.
Right.
Because of the embarrassment and the shame, because how dare you?
And if you think about it, it's nothing.
It is nothing.
But in our culture, it is a huge, big deal.
Right, right.
Not because I was a male, it's because I was a female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you would have been a male doing the same thing, wouldn't have thought twice about it.
Because you're a female. You would have never been shunned like that.
Right, yeah. Right. So the bottom line is, did she ever, ever sit down and ever discuss it with you?
So
later
the biggest thing was, when my sister got married and left, and my brother was doing his own thing and whatnot, it was just me and my mom. And I always was like, no, Mom, I'll go get it. I'll take you. It was always like, I took care of her, everything. Yeah. So she felt like I abandoned her.
Yeah.
Like she was like, you didn't think about what was going to happen to me.
Right, right.
And that made me feel really bad.
Yeah.
Even though she can see, I mean, I was down to like 82 pounds. I was so sad. It was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment that I had nothing, no roof over my head, I started healing immediately. You can see it physically. You can see it in my face. You can see it. I was happy with nothing because I could not live in that environment anymore.
Right, right.
It was eggshells.
Yeah.
Like, is my dad going to be in a good mood? Is he going to be in bad mood? Yeah. Is he going to like keep me up till 4 a.m.
so
yelling at me?
So it's funny how people always say that they're going to stay married for the kids' sake and they're going to do this for the kids' sake. And it's really funny because people just don't understand that kids can tell everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like little radars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why are you going to stay married? Who are you protecting? Because you're still hurting. Well, I'm just going to use the name Johnny. Okay. You're still hurting little Johnny. Mm-hmm. He still has to hear you guys. He still has to hear you guys fight. He still knows. Like you said, walking on eggshells, you know, oh, is mom going to be in a good mood? Is dad going to be in a mood? Who's going to come home drunk? Who's going to, like, you're staying married for whose reason? Yeah.
Right.
So, okay. So
I was a kid that even in the household of all those people, I can remember as early as third grade, my mom was constantly entertaining, constantly cleaning, constantly in the kitchen, and she'd do it by herself.
Yeah.
So I'd always help her and she'd always be upset at me. She was like, go to sleep. You have school tomorrow. I was the one that woke up with her to help her before I left for school.
So you were her radar. You were her radar.
Correct. And I was always been that way.
So when you left her.
She felt like I left her. Yeah. And I abandoned her.
Yeah.
And I never, I didn't think of it that way at that moment when this was all going on.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about how do I mend that relationship?
Mm.
But we all have to heal. And so my dad was really big on like, you will not answer calls. You will not answer the door. You will not do any of this.
Okay.
But my dad is also very loving and sweet. And when he saw me after 2 years, he literally just broke down.
He hugged you?
Oh, he was on his knees crying.
Yeah. So dad's on his hands and knees. So happy to see you.
Like hands and knees like that. No, you know?
Happy to see you. Okay.
And but they still refused to acknowledge that I had my own place.
Okay.
That was still a part for them difficult.
Yeah. So let's fast forward. Years go by. You're doing good. They're struggling to deal with all of it or whatever. And then suddenly you fall in love.
Yeah, pretty much. Met somebody. Started to go back to my parents' house once a week. And my dad was in the car with my mom was sick one day. My dad was in the car with me because he's like, let's go to the grocery store. That literally meant he wanted to have a conversation with me. And again, like that anxiety, that nervousness runs through my body. And he knew that he had to be sensitive about how he spoke to me. And especially on this topic. And he was like, I'm not trying to say anything, but don't you think that you need to take the next step in life and get married? And, is it okay if I can introduce you to some people?
How old were you at this point?
26, okay. Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like, you're getting old.
Oh, 26 is old.
Oh, I should have already had a baby by now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, was, for in our culture, that was like, you're an old hag.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You're
an
old maid, yeah.
So I told him about this person that I liked and dating. And he was like, okay, you know, we need to meet him. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, what's his name? And I said, in my head, I was like, fuck, he's got a strong Muslim name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck. So anyways, I tell him and he immediately was like fuming. You can just see it. You can just see the steam coming out of every hole in his body. And so, we end up not saying anything. He was like, well, I mean, you've already put us through enough, so might as well just meet this guy.
Yeah.
That was the answer.
Yeah.
So they met in a neutral place, restaurant, and my dad and him immediately hit it off.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He so liked his education. He liked the way he spoke. He liked the way he loved everything about him. Immediately, he did.
Yeah.
He didn't admit that.
Right.
At this point, about 6 months from now, my brother was getting married in England.
Mm-hmm.
That she was from Manchester. And he was obviously, as a father of a son, you take everyone to the wedding. So we had two 747 planes that he packed up with everybody in the family or whoever, family, friends, whoever he wanted to take. And we flew out there. And at this point, he had been coming over to spend time. He's like, well, I mean, we need to spend time with him. Rightfully. And I was like, okay, no problem. So he started coming over to my parents' house.
Yeah.
Once a week, spending time.
Yeah.
And he invited him to the wedding, which was really odd.
Huge.
And
wow.
He basically was like, but you will come as my son's friend. You will not come there as my daughter's anything.
Yeah.
So he hit it off. He, you know, like everyone was like, who's this guy? Like, this is a great guy, blah, blah, whatever. And finally it came down to time to get married. And he was like, I'll give you the money. I don't want to give you a wedding.
Your dad.
Yeah. Just go get court married.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, we will not do that. I'm not embarrassed of who my daughter's going to marry. And
right.
If the community has an issue with it, then
yeah.
They don't have to come.
Okay.
Yeah.
So mom stood up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
we got married. We didn't have a wedding, but we just had a reception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dad paid for it, though.
So. Dad paid for it.
Okay. So now we're happily married.
Expensive.
Now we're happily married.
Happily married.
Okay.
Yeah.
Life is good.
Life is good.
Everything's going good.
It's going great.
We got a baby coming.
Not yet.
Oh.
Baby came at 30.
Okay.
It was
so,
an accident.
Oh.
Was
it planned? Accidents happen at 30.
I know.
We didn't know about birth control.
I was definitely considered beyond old hag.
Yeah.
I was now geriatric.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, you won't be able to have a baby.
So somehow you managed to not get pregnant for 4 years.
I know.
But then
look
all
at
of a sudden
me.
Got pregnant.
Winning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So accident happens. You're okay, though.
I'm fine. Everyone's great.
Everybody's happy. So baby's born.
Baby's born.
Everything's cool.
Everything's cool.
Still married to the guy?
Still married. I was officially married for 16 years.
So you were married for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
By then, most people would be like, hey, that's a good marriage.
16 years was not a happy marriage the entire time, but a big part of that was also separation, but trying to work it out.
So, okay, so your son is how old now, 19?
He'll be 19 next month.
Yes.
Raise him on my own. He only
such a grown-up little boy. No, I shouldn't say little boy. Good God, he became so tall now, so
mm-hmm.
big. But I'm just saying, okay, so you were married 16.
Officially, like legally.
Legally, but you didn't have the child till 30.
Mm-hmm.
So you were married 4 years before baby came?
Correct.
If I'm doing the math right.
Correct.
So how long were you married before you separated the first time, maybe?
It was only one time I separated.
Okay. How old was the baby?
Our baby was 8, 9 years old.
Okay, so
and then
only
I,
8 or 9 years
out.
At that point.
Well, okay. The entire time it was, even though we
yeah.
were married and we lived in the same home, there were things that I discovered, habits that he couldn't break, which was drugs.
Okay.
And I didn't realize.
So did we know the drugs were happening before you got married?
I do now.
Oh, looking back.
I didn't know then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We always have blinders, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The signs were all there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just didn't realize.
But we wanted the blinders
right.
to make happily
and
ever
I just
after.
Decided that, became too toxic to raise a child, so
yeah.
I walked out with my son.
Ooh.
Walked out.
Parents
did
parents didn't back you on that one. They were like, nope, you stay in that marriage no
yeah.
matter what.
Nope.
Mm.
Walked out with zero to my name.
Child and clothes.
Again. This is like the third, this is actually, my parents already kicked me out twice. Like
yeah.
They not kicked me out, they
right.
can't kick me out anymore,
right.
but they
right.
stopped talking to me
yeah.
a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're like, hey, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I am strong.
So downsized big time. From
yeah.
A, you know.
Yeah.
Dream home to
yeah.
a baby. Hi.
So dream home. So while we were married, dream home was where?
By Memorial Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now we're left. We left. Now we're going to an apartment again.
Mm-hmm. I had already opened the restaurant by now. My dad was 100% against it. like I said, growing up.
So you opened up the restaurant while you were married?
Yeah.
Okay. So, which is still called Ruggles?
Ruggles Black, yeah.
Ruggles. I always don't know how to pronounce it. But anyway.
Tomato, tomato.
Okay. So you opened it while you were married?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So did we have to buy out the husband part of it or anything like that?
He was never part of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you did that on your own without
him. Yeah. He was never around because he was always somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, passed out or whatever.
Sure.
So it was kiddo and me, and he built the restaurant out with me, sleeping on the floor. That he, to this day, I always thought that maybe he would remember that, but he still remembers it. It's part of his graduation, his college essay speech.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't get to read it till he submitted it.
Yeah.
He didn't want me to.
Yeah.
So he's like.
Bring back some tears?
Yeah. So it's still hard to read.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
It's like you were saying earlier, you don't realize what kids see and what they retain.
Oh, yeah.
And how it affects them.
Oh, yeah.
And I had no idea.
Yeah.
No clue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Till he actually wrote it.
It takes me back to when my son passed away. We'll go way back. My brother passes away, and I'm holding my niece,
mm-hmm.
who's 3 years old, the same age as my son at the time, and I'm trying to explain to her where her daddy's at now, that he's up in the sky with God now, and if she ever misses him or wants to talk to him, always to look for that star that twinkles, because that's her daddy, and he's trying to say, hey, I'm right here, you can talk to me now, and everything like that. And so fast forward, I never got to see her again from that night. Right? My son passes away.
And she was there.
And she shows up for the funeral. And she comes up to me.
Words.
She comes up to me and she goes, Aunt Teresa, I just want you to know that what you did for me when my daddy passed away helped me so much in life. And I said, what are you talking about? Because I'm thinking, she does not remember talking to me when she was 3 years old. And she told me verbatim what I just said. And she said, so every time I miss my dad and I want to talk to my dad, I always go outside and I always look for that bright star that's twinkling because I know that's my dad and I can talk to him, share my feelings and tell him how much I miss him.
And how I'm that thinking, set with her such a young age.
I'm like,
wow.
You were three.
Yeah. Yep.
So never be surprised at what kids
will retain and remember. And take from.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So, wow. So you leave. Yeah, now you're on your own. Got a child with you. Mm-hmm. Well, he's 8 or 9. Still a child.
So, yeah, of course. And you have
a business.
Mm-hmm.
You have responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to prove to your parents.
Had to prove to the community, because the restaurant industry community was, which I felt was very giving and loving and supportive, was very anti me.
Mm-hmm.
Had written some horrible articles about, like, shit, like, I'll make it. I don't know what the fuck she's doing around here.
Yeah.
Now we're here 11 years fucking later.
Yeah.
So you guys can all go suck a dick.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And most of those people, owners and chefs of restaurants, all shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And my goal for the restaurant was to prove how to eat better and do better and put the cleaner things in life, even though they are considered Indian spices.
Mm-hmm.
People automatically are like curry, or they're automatically like, oh, too spicy. It's not about heat. It's about all the things that we all take. Turmeric now, cinnamon now, clove now. That's what we cook with everything we make. Whatever cuisine we make, those ingredients are in there.
Right.
So that was my goal, was to do that.
Right.
It was to try to teach people how to eat better.
So we love that restaurant. It's called Ruggles.
Black.
Mm-hmm. And it's basically keto or paleo.
It's a lot of keto, a lot of paleo,
yeah.
But also normal menu. But sure. All the ingredients are fresh.
Yeah.
And healthy.
Just freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Freaking amazing. I keep telling her she needs to open one out here in the Woodlands. And she's like, no, I need you to drive to Houston, bitch. I'm like, yeah, but I help you have it out here.
Like, I'm like, that's rich.
I'd be a business partner or something out here. Like, I need you out here. Oh, my God. I'm like, probably either, like, every day. All day long. Like, I love it. So
you can do that today, too. Oh, you can do it right now.
Yeah. Just drive to Houston every hour on the hour, yeah. So let's wrap this up with saying, where are we at today? Like, where are we at with the son and the parents and like, okay, son's in college. He just finished his first year of college.
Yeah,
at A&M. Congratulations.
Howdy, howdy. Thank
and
you.
He's grown up to be such a fine young man. He's always been a fine young man, but oh my God, he's like so tall. I haven't seen him.
Well, we didn't even know where that came from.
Really?
No one saw in my family or his family. They're all short. I'm the tallest in his side of the family, his father's side of the family. I'm the tallest girl.
Wow.
That's kind of, that says a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, somewhere in the heritage of the bloodlines,
there's somebody that has
there.
Some height.
But anyways, so congratulations to him. I can't wait to see him again. It's been so long. And your parents, everything's good now?
No.
No?
We are in a very distant back at that point, but the real quick.
What happened? What happened?
I think my dad has just become very comfortable. Mm. And it's a comfortable, it's a positive word. But
yeah.
This way, I'm going to use it as comfortable in making me the punching bag in his life. So he did it a couple more times. I always go back because of my mom and because of that whole situation the first time it happened.
Yeah.
But then it happened with my son once. And I think that's probably my dad's biggest over even what he did with me. It's his biggest regret because my parents are literally obsessed with my child. They have four grandbabies, but they're, I mean, like blatantly, obvious obsession with my kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think?
My mom says it just the way I raised him.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad says his DNA.
Mm.
My dad takes credit for him. And it's
of
the funniest
course.
Shit ever. He's
of
like,
course.
Oh, he has my DNA.
Yeah.
That's why he is who he is.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
But that keeps
now.
Us in a check and balance a little bit. I don't go there as much anymore. A lot of things have happened. And they now massively take a step back in how they interact with me because they're afraid they're going to lose their grandson, which I've never done that, and I would never
right.
do that in a million years.
Right.
And, that's their relationship.
And your age, your son is at an age where he can decide that on his own.
Absolutely. And I've always let him decide that, even when my dad kicked me and my
right,
son out
right,
again.
Right.
Said, don't ever come back to our house.
Right.
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 And he was really regretful because, I mean, that was a year and a half before my son said, I miss my grandparents. Could I go see them? I'm like, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? He's like, yeah, I'm ready. I
yeah.
said, okay. I never went back in, but
yeah.
he went.
Yeah.
And my parents like just showered him with love and gifts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And my son was like, I cannot accept any of these gifts without my mom's permission.
Mm.
And I said, that's up to you. And my parents saw that most parents would say, you do what I say to your child.
Right.
And I was like, that's up to you. That's
yeah.
that's a different type of love.
Yeah.
And a different type of relationship.
Right.
And I never want to get in the middle of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So is the Nero we know now looking for love again?
I was not expecting that. The Nero you know now would love to be to find somebody and be in a very nice, loving, and I say intense on different levels relationship.
Yeah. Because you've been single now.
Long
time.
Time.
Yeah.
I but I mean, the word "single" is odd because I do like
you date.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. not really. I've never been. Have you ever seen me out on a fucking date with like
I've
random people?
I've seen you with a few different, like one man,
one guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm saying you date or you have someone you can call once in a while.
You talking about a booty call, aren't you?
Well, whatever.
I don't do booty calls, girl.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, yeah, whatever. That's not the Nero I know. Okay.
You know, but my whole thing is my son's in college and he's out of the house. It was a very difficult year for me.
Yeah.
Personally, because it's always just been me and him.
Yeah,
yeah, it's always just been me and him. Life was always about taking care of him and his needs. And so now it's kind of, we've had this conversation a few months back when he was like, Mama, just
yeah, go live life.
But he was very much about, he didn't like the idea of
yeah.
anyone even looking at me.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not. My son was the same way.
Yeah.
He was like,
I don't think so.
I don't think so, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing that that was silly on his part,
right.
but
of
I
course.
Wanted to respect him until
right.
he was ready to say
he was very protective
go.
Of his mama.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, never mind. I'm getting too old. Fuck it.
You're never too old. Come on. So what's next on the list for Nera? Like, what should we look forward to?
I have come to the conclusion that I'm only going to keep one restaurant, even though I've had opportunities to open more.
Yeah.
I think something on the lines of wanting to do something outside of the country. I do have an offer of a cookbook on the table, so I'll probably entertain that this summer. I do like the idea of being in my son getting involved in something that we do moving forward.
That'd be fun. Mother-son type of something. Cool.
Yeah.
So if people are looking to find you, where can they find you? At the restaurant, I'm sure.
At the restaurant, and my address, I'm just kidding.
No, tell them the address. It's on West Street, everything.
Oh, I was saying my home address.
You could, wow.
No,
that's another
conversation. No, Rob's Black is West Alabama off of Kirby.
It's an amazing restaurant. It's so beautiful, and it's so I just can't say enough about it. Do you want people to find you on social media?
Sure.
Social media, you're on Instagram is what?
What is it called? Handle, right? Jesus.
It's your handle.
Neera, P-H-N-E-E-R-A-P, as in Paul, H as in Houston.
There you go. And
I'm not that great at it.
So are you more prevalent on Facebook or Instagram?
I think for me, business-wise, both.
Okay.
But personally, more Instagram because I'm not a fan of all the riffraff on Facebook.
Yeah.
But in terms of the restaurant and other things that I've been involved in with charity and, and nonprofits, you got to be relevant on both.
Right. And I think Instagram, the restaurant has its own Instagram
page
too.
Yes, Ruggles Black.
Yeah. So you can find it there.
Ruggles Black Food Bar.
There you go. So anyways, once again, we have another amazing guest that's all about coming from being a victim and becoming a victor and rising above it all and not being...
Knowing you and meeting you has been an amazing inspiration on what things you can achieve in life and the things that you've overcome personally. I'm in awe of you.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. I had someone say to me the other day, I would have thought somebody your age would be looking at ways to start retiring. And I was like, what is that word? What is that damn word? Like, who the hell retires?
Yeah.
And I had to remind this person, I said, I'm sorry, but has Jimmy Buffett retired? No. Okay. Not Jimmy Buffett. I'm sorry.
Warren Buffett.
I'm sorry. Warren Buffett. I said, has Warren Buffett retired? Has Bill Gates retired? Has all the congressmen?
I think the idea of retirement puts your life in your mind to mush.
Yeah. I said retirement to me is for death. Like nobody I know retires, especially an entrepreneur. Like if you are an entrepreneur, you don't retire. You just keep going. Like, you don't know that
word. Just keep hustling. It's a hustle life.
Well, and I said, if you're looking to make millions, you just, and once you make a million or 2 million, you
want
to make
more.
Millions. Tony Robbins is worth so much freaking money. He doesn't need to keep doing these motivational seminars, but he still does. Because when you do something you love, you just do it. You don't think of it as work.
Right.
So I said, I'm sorry. I'm having fun in life. Like, why would I be thinking about retirement? Like, no thanks.
Retire when you're dead.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you once again, Neera, for being a part of our podcast. We wish you the best. And if you're looking at trying to find Neera, she just gave you all the information on where to find her. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thank you.